David Rock, come on up here, and I'm going to let you begin in just a moment. David and Jessica Rock have four fantastic kids, and we are grateful to have them in our church family again. And they, David's a deacon in the church and serves in that way. We appreciate his leadership and insight there. But you need to know that this family is a praying family. It doesn't matter if there's any prayer meeting scheduled here at Living Waters. They're having prayer at home. They intercede at home. They have little prayer gatherings at home. As you know, and still want to trust God, that God is bringing a spirit of truth to our nation at these critical weeks and months. Well, this family went to D.C. a few weeks ago to prayer walk in D.C. That's the kind of dedication level I'm talking about, and one that is needed in the body of Christ for people to make sacrifices to pray, trust, and believe for our nation at this time. So I'm grateful that David is part of our preaching team here at Living Waters, and this date worked out for him. So let me pray over him and over us as he begins. Father, just so thankful for David and Jessica and their heart for prayer and intercession and worship, Lord God. This is a calling upon them, Lord God. And so, Lord, we just look forward to joining with them in that. Lord, today we are asking that your Holy Spirit open up our hearts, our ears, that we would receive the specific lesson, the specific scripture, the eternal principle, Lord, that will transform us and make a big difference, not just today, this week, but into our whole life. Lord, we thank you that you're anointing David as he speaks, and lead him today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. A couple days late, but Merry Christmas. I decided to get dressed up a little bit today and not wear jeans, but I'll let you in on a secret. The main reason is because I haven't worn dress pants since March. So I was going to test out the COVID-19, and they still fit, so that's a good thing. It was question mark this morning what was going to happen there, but we were able to pull it off. Well, this morning I'm going to continue on in the series of talking about the dilemmas that we've been going through, and still going to have a Christmas message, even though we've already celebrated Christmas, although there might still be some families in here that are going to open up presents later on today, or maybe still later on this week. We know that can kind of taper off for a while. But I'm going to talk about the dilemma of belief this morning, and I'm going to be looking at the innkeeper and the story of the innkeeper, and we have a video queued up for that. So go ahead and watch this as we start.
Speaking of miracles, there was a certain couple that showed up late tonight. I can't seem to shake the impression they made on me. The girl was more fatigued than a woman should ever look. All she wanted was just a place to rest, but I had nothing. The husband pleading with such desperation. What kind of businessman would take pause with that? What could I do? Bethlehem was packed. No fault of my own. And that's where the book would have closed on the matter had it not been for my dear, dear sweet wife. The jab in the ribs from her finger telling me I might want to rethink my position on things. I very clearly knew my options. A, I could find them a place to sleep, or B, I could find myself a place to sleep. Seriously, my wife, Estelle, had seen something that I had completely missed. The girl, she was pregnant. There was no way I was going to leave her out in the cold night. But the barn, it was all ahead. They were grateful. There's something different about them. Something. quirky word, a word we simply don't use anymore, but holy. It's really the only word that fits. They say the baby, that he's the Messiah, the one who's gonna change everything. Could he really be the one that we've been waiting for after all these years? All my life, disbelief has paralyzed me, I suppose you could say. But this has given me a chance to believe. Bethlehem will be waking up soon. People going to want food in their stomach. They're going to be registering for the census. All these people in their own little worlds, no one knowing that a Savior has entered the world. Out of all the places on earth, God chose my place to bring hope into the world. I'm certainly not a very worthy man, but I am a grateful one. Estelle, I've never seen that woman happier in years. As for me, there will always be things to buy and sell. But this has given me a new kind of heart. A heart that believes. Oh, what a holy night.
What an interesting topic of the innkeeper. I can't remember ever hearing a sermon on the innkeeper. And we just celebrated Christmas, and probably many homes you just read the story of Jesus' birth and mentioned the innkeeper or the inn in that story. Not much attention is given to the innkeeper. Now the video that we just watched is talking about Christ's birth and this obscure perspective of the innkeeper and his wife, Estelle. Don't you love that name? Well, we know that as you read the story, which we'll just read in just a second, Estelle's not in there. Estelle's not in the Bible, and the innkeeper actually isn't even in the Bible. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But here we find this innkeeper of this dilemma of belief, and it's really a representation of the Jewish people or humanity in general that have this battle of believing that Jesus is the Messiah. And so, as we look at the inn, as we'll look at the scripture in just a minute, there's debate of, was it an actual inn or was it, a guest room or, there was, what we do know is that there was no place to sleep in the inn. This is what we do know. There was not any room. And so this innkeeper represents those that didn't believe in Jesus, the Messiah, and Jew or Gentile. And in studying the text for today, I was interested to kind of, because it's so short, as a preacher, you're like, okay, well, let's see where else this is mentioned so I can get some more material. And as I looked around, I realized that it's just this verse. So I was, happy to dig in, but don't worry, there was plenty there. As I know, maybe you were a little bit excited to hear that there was just one verse. But we're going to read a few of those this morning. If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. We're going to look at some key elements here. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, that the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So we have some key elements here in this text, and I want us to draw attention to each of those. And first is mention of the firstborn. So this means that Mary and Joseph had other children. As we see in Matthew chapter 13, that Mary and Joseph had other children. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and after that, Mary and Joseph had children of their own, and they had some brothers, at least one sister is mentioned. Jesus was the firstborn, and there was also siblings. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like to be a sibling to Jesus? Have you ever had someone in your life that you thought that, you know, that they always have to be right? Well, Jesus was always right, you know? So that made some interesting childhood dynamics growing up with Jesus, always telling the truth, right? I'm sure that would have been interesting for his siblings. And as we, you know, we don't know much about his siblings up until the point of Jesus' death on the cross. And his death on the cross, there's no mention of his siblings, and we don't know why. But he does mention Mary and one of his disciples, John, to look after Mary, but his siblings weren't there. After his ascension, we do find that several of his brothers took a predominant place in the New Testament church. And so, you know, there was probably some interesting dynamics there, but Jesus was the firstborn child to Mary and Joseph. Next thing that the verse talks about in verse 7 is swaddling clothes. I remember one time my dad was reading the Christmas story out of Luke on Christmas morning or Christmas evening, and we were all getting ready to eat. And as he's reading, finished the story, and someone at the table raised their hand and said, what's swaddling clothes? And you know, it's a term that we don't necessarily use every day, and you probably hear this maybe once a year, swaddling clothes. So it's a valid question, and one writer said that swaddling clothes are a custom that is still practiced today in several countries, and it's really the cloth that was wrapped around the baby. And this might look a little bit of a different concept in other parts of the world, but it's something that we still practice, you know, here in the United States. And I remember that when our firstborn, Isaiah, was born, that the nurse showed me how to wrap the baby, and it's kind of the swaddling clothes, right? And how you kind of get that blanket out there and get their limbs in and get them all snuggled in there and tucked in. And I remember that lesson specifically at 3 o'clock in the morning, the first night that we were at home, because I was like, oh, now how did, with him screaming, how did that swaddling thing go, you know? It was an important lesson. And so it would have been common to find, you know, a baby in swaddling clothes, maybe not necessarily a blanket like we're used to today, but more of clothes. The next thing that it mentions is the manger. And so here we find that the Son of God was born in a manger. And, you know, Jesus was not born in a palace. He wasn't even born in a hospital. Even to go on to the point of saying that he wasn't even born in a sanitary place. He was born in a place that was dirty, and the manger, you know, has a couple different possibilities of what it could be or where it could be located. It could have been inside. It could have been outside. It could have been wood. It could have been stone. But we do know it was a feeding trough. It was a place for the animals to eat from, and then this is where Jesus was born, in a stable, and he was put in a feeding trough or a manger. And the manger reminds us of the birth of the Son of God. But it shouldn't distract us because he didn't stay in the manger. Amen. He is right now with God the Father in heaven. And I think I love the Christmas story and all the manger scenes. But sometimes during Christmas, our thoughts could be so focused of that picture of Jesus in the manger. But we got to remember that he didn't stay there. He went to the cross, and now he is in heaven. And he will come again. Lastly, let's look at the inn. And don't worry, I have more notes beyond just this verse. I know you're kind of excited that the inn was the last part of the verse here, but I have more. The last thing that we see here is the inn. And we think back to the innkeeper and his wife, Estelle, which is a great name. The inn wouldn't have had a neon sign. And in the original Greek language, this word inn is used in two other locations in the New Testament, one of them being also in Luke. And this could also be interpreted as guest room. So an inn or guest room. And whether it was an actual inn or it was a guest room, an Airbnb or a Hotel 6, it doesn't really matter which way that we would look at it. The thing that we do know is that there wasn't any room. There was no room for them in the inn. And it was in this place of a stable that Jesus was born. And at this time, we celebrate the greatest gift ever given, the birth of Jesus. And let us be reminded that Jesus is the greatest gift that was given. He died on the cross for us, saving us from sin and separation from him. He defeated death on the cross, and he rose again from the grave. Spending a little bit of time on earth with his disciples and then ascended into heaven. And he is in heaven where he is now and will return to us one day, defeating Satan, sickness, and he will be victorious. And so we have this disbelief in this video from this innkeeper. This innkeeper represents someone that has disbelief, that struggled with believing in God throughout the years. Again, we don't actually find a mention of the innkeeper, but we do know that someone had to say there's no room in the inn, right? So whoever that was, whether it was the innkeeper or not, someone had to say that there was no room in the inn, in the main living quarters, whatever that may be. And, so we have this representation of this innkeeper from the video showing disbelief or struggling with believing, and we find that Jesus comes to this inn and is born, and there's no room in the inn, so he's born in the stable, and I hope Joseph, as the soon to be father of Jesus, as I know I would ask for a significant discount. I'm hoping that he got at least 50% off of the stable. And maybe he was able to negotiate a little bit more. All the fathers in the room would agree with me. I'm sure somebody else's mind went there. There had to be a discount involved. The video tags this innkeeper of having this unbelief, and this unbelief is something that still plagues the Jewish people. This unbelief of believing that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior, is something that still plagues the Jewish people. And there are several Jews that are still looking for the Messiah. But the truth is that the Messiah has already come. And the Messiah came born in a manger, and his name is Jesus. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And this is what we pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters. We pray that the heart of stone would be replaced with a heart of flesh. We pray for those that do not believe. We pray for those that like in this video of the innkeeper that is struggling with their belief for years, maybe struggling to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We pray that the heart of stone, the hard heart would be replaced with the heart of flesh. In Romans 10:1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." And we pray that this morning. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters that they may be saved, that they may know that Jesus is the Messiah, that he has already come and that he will be coming again, his second coming. We pray that the eyes of the heart would be opened to knowing this, and that unbelief would be abolished, and that they would believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Can you agree with me? Amen. This might be a dilemma of hearts today, whether online or in the room. Maybe there's been unbelief. Maybe there's been a struggle with believing in Jesus. Maybe believing in Jesus in part, but not 100%. Maybe, you know, I kind of view this innkeeper as someone that has struggled for years with believing. Maybe it's been years that you have, throughout your life, that you have struggled with the belief that Jesus is truly the Savior. Maybe you've hung a no vacancy sign over your heart for years. And God would want to remind you this morning that he is the Savior, that he is the Messiah, and that you can accept him. You can put your trust in him. The place that Jesus was born was in a stable. Can you imagine what this was like for the innkeeper? You know, there's times when you know, God will reveal something to me or show his love to me, and you just kind of feel in that place of like, you know, God, why me? You know, you kind of feel humbled, right? You know what I'm talking about? You feel that feeling of, God, why would you choose me? God, why would you show this to me? Can you imagine the innkeeper and all the places for Jesus to be born, for all the places for the Son of God to come to a physical location, he came to this one place, to this one innkeeper, to this one stable. I'm sure there was thoughts of, why me? Why did you choose me? Why did God choose for flesh, or for the Word to become flesh and dwell among us right here in my inn, right here in my stall, right here in my house, whatever it looked like? God chose this innkeeper. And there must have been that feeling of just not being worthy. And the location in what the innkeeper had to offer wasn't much. Jesus wasn't born, as we said, in a palace, and he was born in a stable. And so, you know, the innkeeper has a place that isn't perfect. He has, in fact, a place that's dark and dirty, and it smells. And yet, Christ came to that location. Christ came there. And aren't you glad that we can come to Jesus no matter what we look like, no matter what we feel like, no matter what is going through our life? We don't have to get cleaned up. We don't have to smell good. We don't have to be perfect. But he can come to us in our brokenness. He comes to us in our hurt. He comes to us in our disappointment, in the smelly places of our lives. And that's where he dwells with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for God coming to us into the places of our hurt and our disappointments. There's a Christmas carol that we might have sung, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing. I know people got a little bit on edge there. I don't know. Don't worry. I won't do it to you. But a Christmas carol we might have sung, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. Just like that innkeeper preparing a room, even if it was just all that he had, it was a stable. Dingy and dirty place. Prepare him room. As we look at 21, as we look forward to this next coming year, I want to encourage you to prepare him room. Prepare him room. Even if, you know, this last year there was hurt and disappointment, even if there's pain from this year of 2020, prepare him room in 2021. Make that spot in your heart for Jesus to rest in, for him to dwell in, even in a greater measure. And despite those hurts and those dark places, allow him to push those things aside. And the good news is that you don't have to clean him up, that he'll do that for you. And so, Lord, we invite you, Stephen prayed earlier, into 21. We invite your spirit to dwell with us. We open up our hearts even more, God, in the hurt and the disappointment places that we might have in 2020. God, we ask that you would come in and that you would bring healing. We ask that your spirit would rest with us even in a greater measure in this coming year. That you would truly be God with us. That you would reside with us in 2021. Next, I would like for us to look at is the cry of Jesus. The Jewish people were looking for a Messiah, a Savior, someone that would lead a rebellion against the Roman Empire, someone that would lead them into battle, physically into battle, and to declare war on Rome. And so this is maybe part of the tension of not accepting Jesus as the Messiah, because Jesus was born, and in that moment, there was a war that was declared, but it wasn't a physical war, it was a spiritual war. And in that moment, with baby Jesus, as we look at that cute little picture, right, of Jesus in that manger, it's really a resounding statement and an intense statement of Jesus being born, not just being cute, because it's the Redeemer of the world that has been born. And in that moment of Jesus' birth, there's a war declared over evil and Satan. And at this moment that God took on flesh, the battle got intense in the heavenlies. The Son of God's first cry was a siren declaring war on sin. It was a siren declaring war on Satan and sickness and the separation between God and mankind and humanity and God. And this baby Jesus in a manger isn't just cute. He is our Redeemer. And so as we look at that picture, we're thankful for this. This war that he's taken place and that he's starting in the spiritual realm. And if you don't believe me, what happened after he was born? We know that there was wise men that were sent, right? A couple of years after he was born. And we see this in Matthew chapter 2. There were wise men sent. And who were they sent by? King Herod. King Herod, Roman king, at the birth of Jesus, found out that there was a Savior that was born, the King of the Jews. And so he sent the wise men to Bethlehem to find out exactly where this king was. And he sent him out to spy out with a secret plot to kill baby Jesus, and who was probably maybe a year or two old at that time. And the wise men were warned in a dream not to return. Joseph also, Jesus' earthly dad, had an angel appear to him and told him to leave Bethlehem. So what do we find next in this story? That this Roman king, Herod, orders all the babies in Bethlehem, two and under, to be killed. I might be wrong with that. Was it two and under or two or older? Two and under, okay. Because why? Because the king of the Jews, the Messiah, was born, the Savior of the world. It's in this moment of Jesus' birth that the war on darkness is declared. And in this moment of Jesus' birth, a satanic spirit is stirred up in this king. An anti-Semitic, an anti-Christ spirit rose up in King Herod to abolish the Savior of the world. And the demonic plan of Satan was also to abolish the king and to kill as many babies in the process. And as we stand here thousands of years later, this plan of Satan really hasn't changed much, has it? The plan to bring destruction to Israel, the Jewish people, and the killing of innocent babies through abortion. We see these two threads continue to take place in our nation and in our world. There might have been doubt in the innkeeper, but there was not doubt in Herod. And this anti-Semitic spirit can be seen today, and we must pray like never before for our nation to continue to stand with Israel. And we must pray never before for churches in the United States to continue to stand with Israel. And in the Greek, as we talk about this Antichrist spirit, it really just means taking the place of Christ. I would also like to invite the worship team to come up at this time. I still have a few more things that I'd like to cover, but I think one of the most profound Christmas verses is found in 1 John. And if you can go ahead and throw that on the screen for us, David. 1 John 8, in the last part of the verse, says this: "For the purpose of the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Isn't that a great verse to remember in his birth? For this purpose, why was Jesus born? Why was one of the reasons that Jesus was born? Save us from sin, separation, but also to destroy the works of the evil one, to destroy the works of Satan. And so with this first cry of baby Jesus, war is declared. And John tells us that the one purpose that Jesus' birth was to destroy these works of the devil. And this is pretty straightforward. There's no second guessing in here. Jesus' name is the name above every name, every other name. And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus didn't just come and was born in a manger, and that he didn't just die on the cross for our sins, and that he's not staying in heaven forever, and that he is coming again. If you could stand with me this morning, I'd like to join together in prayer over a couple of things as we pray. The fact that Jesus is born, and one of his purposes is to destroy the works of the evil one. And as we've been talking about unbelief, I want us to pray for the nation of Israel, and I also want us to pray for our nation. And so I'm going to lead in prayer. If you could join me where you're at in agreement. God, we thank you today as we take this season and we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that Jesus was born to destroy the works of the evil one. God, we thank you for that Jesus was born to destroy any unbelief in our heart. And God, we pray for Israel this morning. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for the Jewish people from Romans 10:1. As Paul prayed, that my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. God, we pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for unbelief. Lord, for the veil to be torn. God, that their eyes would be open, that they would see you as the Messiah, as the Savior, and that you are coming again, and that you've already came. God, we pray, Lord, that you would reveal in this season, in this year, in 2021, God, let there be a great awakening, Lord, of hearts. Lord, for the Jewish people that don't know you, let them come to know you during this season. God, that they might be saved. Lord, we pray, God, we thank you, Lord, for the birth of Jesus that destroys the work of the evil one. God, we pray, Lord, in this season in our nation, God, that you would continue to destroy the works of the evil one. God, we say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. We say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered over our nation. We say, God arise, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. God, you came into this world to scatter the enemy, to defeat the enemy. Lord, so we say, arise, God. Arise in our land. Arise in the United States, God. Arise. Scatter the enemy. Lord, we ask, God, that you would expose every wicked plan, every corrupt plan. God, that you would expose it for what it is, for corruption. Lord, corruption, wherever it may be. God, that you would expose it, that it would be revealed. Lord, let the corruption, let evil flee, let it be scattered. Lord, that your name would arise. God, we ask that you would call men to yourself. God, we ask that the remnant of your church, God, would arise. God, we ask that those that are confess you as Lord, Lord, let there be an increase of your spirit. God, let there be an increase. Lord, as we say, make room in 2021. God, Lord, that you would move in power in your remnant, God. Lord, let there be a move of your spirit that we're expecting in 21. God, let the hearts of men turn to you from the East Coast to the West Coast, God. Let there be a great moving of your spirit. God, we ask for a revival like we've never seen before. God, turn our nation that is consumed with self, that does not look towards you. Turn our nation back to you, God. Lord, let there be a rending of our heart, Lord, back to you. God, that you would forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of turning away from you. Forgive us of the shedding of innocent blood in abortions in millions throughout the years. God, forgive us of our sins and turn our hearts back to you. Lord, let there be a great move of your spirit. Lord, we ask that you would move in power in our land. And God, we ask that you would move in power in the nation of Israel. Let God arise, Lord. We ask for these things. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I want to invite Stephen Riley to come up as he brings us to a close this morning. We thank you, God, for your word spoken to us today.
I like that. The baby cry of Jesus announced to the heavenly host and the demonic host that Jesus was on the ground. He was invading earth. in the presence of God, being fully man, fully God. I just love that. And yes, Lord, we agree that the works of the devil are defeated by Jesus Christ. And Lord, we can walk with hope and faith in that. Thank you so much, David, for praying for our nation, praying for us, praying for Israel. Thank you, Lord, that you are the victor. You are more, you make us more than a conqueror. And that is your plan and your work and your way.